the Lord. God's good. We've been studying the book of Revelation, and it is a revelation rather than difficult to understand. We've tried to make it simple, because it is simple. It's meant to be. Let's read in chapter 4. Let's read in chapter 4. It says, "After this, John, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." So right there is a key that what we've been seeing so far in the book of Revelation has been to the, you might say, the present age. But now John was given a change, and he was going to find out what was going to happen hereafter. And I'll explain this all in a minute, but just to note that at this point. "And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God." Now, if you're going to try to picture this, you're going to be in trouble. But do the best you can to imagine this scene. But I'll just warn you right now, you'll never be able to picture it. That's why the word like is used so many times. It was like unto. Because this is intended to be clear, but not that clear. It's intended to be clear, but not that clear. Clear enough for you to understand what you need to know, but not so clear that you'd ask a lot of silly questions. You see, God doesn't reveal everything. He only reveals everything that you need right now so that you can attend to the thing at hand. But don't think he'll give you all the information. You're not going to get a lot of information out of the book of Revelation or anywhere else in the Bible. You will only get enough information in order to have formation of your character. Because God is not interested primarily in information. He's interested in formation. You understand? There's more power in formation. In other words, when your life is formed, conformed to the image of Jesus. And a lot of people have a lot of head knowledge, and that doesn't do any good if you don't have heart knowledge and a life that has character. Do you see that? A lot of people know a lot. We have seminaries full of people and churches full of people that have a lot of knowledge, but they do not have the knowledge of God. They know about God, but they don't know God. So there's not a lot of information here that you're supposed to draw pictures or make coloring books out of. You couldn't really draw this. It's not intended to be so. But anyway, picture as best you can. "And before the throne," verse 6, "there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were 4 beasts, full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion." Now remember how many beasts there were. How many have we got? How many beasts are there? 4. All right, and listen to them. "And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle." Now if someone would turn while I'm reading to Ezekiel, the first chapter, I believe about verse 5, you'll find Ezekiel talking about 4 living creatures also. Okay? Just find it on your own and raise your hand when you have it and read through it when you've got it. All right? "And the 4 beasts," verse 8, "had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying," they never rest. Here's what they say. These 4 beasts, these 4 living creatures, are always saying something. Now, they're not singing. They're saying, and I believe they're saying with a loud voice, "Holy, holy!" And they're shouting this out so that it can be heard all over heaven and really all over the invisible world, you might say. But remember, John's in the spirit, so he's hearing this invisible world with this loud voice. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was past and is present and is to come. Now this book of Revelation is the greatest book in the Bible for showing this threefold aspect of the Lord. It will present the Lord in the past when he was crucified, when he lived on the earth, and it'll present him in the present when he is now reigning as Lord, not of the world, but of the church. He is the Lord of the world, but nobody sees him that way yet. So he's just visible to us, in a manner of speaking. We see the Lord by faith. We see the Lord, but the world doesn't yet see him. But that's the Lord who is to come. Because in the future, every eye will see him, and every tongue, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. He is the Lord. So you see, he was the Lord, but he was humble. Now he is the Lord to us, no longer humble, but exalted, but not yet to the world. And someday, when he comes in glory, he will be the Lord of lords and King of kings to all, to everyone. You see that? So that threefold aspect is continually sung by these four living creatures, all four of them. And when I show you who they are, you'll be amazed, all right? And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. The four, every time they do it, here's what happens. The four and 20 elders, that's 24, fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy. We just sang it. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So this Lord, who is worthy, is the creator, but he actually is the one for whom and by whom and in whom and through whom creation was made. And we know that's the Logos. We know that's not God the Father, but that's God the Son, who becomes the Lamb that was slain. We'll find this out in the next chapter. But who is worthy? Listen, they sing the song, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord. And now it's going to be revealed, he is worthy. Who is worthy? He is worthy. Who is worthy? Listen, chapter 6. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? So here he's asking, who's worthy? You can search to and fro, but only one is worthy. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, that's all three, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. No man could even look. In other words, these seals, look, this is a picture. Here's a scroll. It's all rolled up, you know, it's rolled up like a paper with handles like this. And let's say here's the last sheet right here, the end of the sheet. And it's always sealed with wax, and usually the king would put his ring signature there. And that's sealed. In this case, it has seven seals. All right? So it's sealed perfectly. Seven always is the number of completion or perfection or fulfillment or maturity. And so this scroll is sealed perfectly with seven seals. And we have come to that point now where if you want to understand history, you must open this book. Now, Daniel prophesied 600 years B.C. before Christ, what would happen between his time, that is the time of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and then there was Persia, and then there was Greece, and then there was Rome, and then Jesus came, died, and now after Jesus died, now there's a lacuna, there's a quiet time, what's going to happen now? And Jesus made prophecies about the future, but no details. And therefore, he went away into heaven when all the apostles were dead except one, John. It's 100 A.D., 100 years, about 70 years after Jesus has gone. And all the others are dead. John's just about to die. He himself is about 90 years old. Maybe he's quite old. He's about to die. He's been exiled. And John gets a revelation at the last. And Jesus says, John, before you go, let him know what's going to happen. And he got a picture into heaven. And John saw this picture. Now, the book of Revelation is broken into seven parts. The first is the seven churches. And here we've done this already for the last few weeks. We've seen how the Lord is speaking to the seven churches, and he's telling them one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing, and it's still the same message today. Be holy so you can bear fruit so that you can come to glory. You can be the bride prepared, her robes spotless and trophies in her hand and so on, so the Lord can say to his church, well done, good and faithful servants, enter into the joy of your master. The bridegroom cometh, behold. So we're heading for the midnight hour, so it's good to know if that's the message to the church is, be clean, be sanctified, be holy, and that's what he's always talking about. He says, I want you to be holy so that you can bear good works. I know your bad works, repent of those quickly, because I'm coming. Maranatha, I'm coming soon. And it's sooner today than it was when John first heard those words 2,000 years ago, 1,900 years ago. So now, then the second part of the book, there's seven parts, but we just want to talk about the first two parts now, is the seven seals. That's where we are now. Now we've seen the seven churches, then the seven seals, then the seven trumpets, etc., etc., etc. Seven parts, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7. You got the idea now that this book of Revelation is the final book, the perfect book, the end book, the mature book. All the seeds planted in the genes, that is the Genesis, the beginning, you know, genes are what you start out with. Genesis. That all ends up fruit in the book of Revelation, showing you the whole thing, past, present, and future. It unlocks all the mysteries. So this book here has the history, his story, of the world from the time of Jesus or from the time of John to the end of the world. Okay? So in this book of Revelation, we've got all the secrets unveiled. You do not need to know more. You do not need to know more. You don't have to know what the belt buckle is on the, you know, third beast or something like that. Don't worry about it. But it's a word only to comfort you. It's not a word to get you to draw pictures and set dates. You know, you don't want to go around saying, oh, I know this here is this and that. You know, just roughly speaking. All he's trying to do is comfort and encourage his Christians and say, hey, get ready because we're moving through these trumpets and seals and bowls and whatnot and so on and so forth. And you're here, but you're not here. And it just gives you comfort to know. Don't you want to know the future? Not in a mind-reading crystal ball way, but in a general way and then specifically just enough to comfort you to keep going. Just enough to keep you about the task of be holy, be fruitful. Prepare yourself as a bride because the bridegroom is coming. That's all. So this book is not complicated. This book is not, you know, like you get so many teachers today telling you about all these, you know, fancy horns. This is Britain and, you know, this is Russia and this is this and that. And, you know, you don't want to get all mixed up in all that stuff, you know. Just, you know, kind of take it easy, you know. Don't worry about it. You're not going to get all that. Let's see, is it now 3:30, you know, and what time is it now? You know, and so on. Don't get quite so excited about that. I really don't believe that's what God wants. I think what he wants to do is lay out a picture that's just enough to comfort you, encourage you, so that you can keep your eyes on Jesus and keep going. Amen? Okay. Now, it doesn't mean that there aren't details there. It's just you don't want to get all worked up over that. You know, how many hairs was in the lion's mane? You know, you don't need to know that. You know, hello, am I making myself clear? Because there's a lot of teachers making a lot of hay today about, you know, how many freckles were on each beast and stuff like that. You know, you don't really need to know that. All right. All right, let's look at chapter 4. Let's start at chapter 4. We've done the first three chapters, and we've looked at those seven churches and seen that Jesus wants a pure church. Jesus is looking for a bridal church. Now, you know what a bride looks like? You know, her hairs are a mess, you know, she's all in curlers. No, that's not what a bride's like. A bride has her dress white, pure, and that's called the good deeds or the righteous deeds of the saints. That's your white robe here, your white dress. It's white linen. It's a white linen dress for the bride. The bride's white linen. And that's the good deeds of the saints. You got to have lots and lots and lots of good deeds. How do you get them? Can you make them? Nope. How do you get them? Look at Jesus. When you look at Jesus, he'll expose you. Filthy rags. Huh. But that's all right, because then he'll cover you. Huh. With what? His own robes of righteousness, right? And not only that, not only will he forgive you and then cover you, but he will then work in you so that you can work with him. And he will work through you his own life. And he is still working. You see, he not only covered me a long time ago as the Lamb, but he is now my Lord working through me today. Producing new works all the time. Christ in me through the Spirit, indwelling, working out His life through me. What Jesus began to do and teach, He's still doing and teaching. He's alive. Amen? He is risen. And He is now directing His church from heaven, but heaven's in here, in me, in you. We're part of heaven. And heaven has come to earth. Not just we're going to heaven, heaven has come to us so that we can go to heaven and bring some others with us. So the temple, that's us, we're on the ground right now, and God is preparing us. Now you won't ever see in this life all things, but we begin to see as in a glass darkly, and someday face to face. All right, now let's look. Now John is helping us to understand this. After this, that is after these seven churches, and I told you the picture of Jesus in this first part of the book of John, or the book of Revelation, is the present ruling Lord. This is the only picture in the Bible of this present ruling Lord. This is the only picture in the Bible. You will never find the Lord pictured anywhere else like this as in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. It's an amazing picture. It is the present Lord. And all you can look in vain anywhere else, but you'll never find such a picture. With eyes like laser beams of fire, with feet like burnished bronze, with hair fiery white, and so on and so forth. He's got all these funny kind of pictures that you wouldn't want to hang up, as I said, over your kid's crib. But that's a neat Jesus. That's a wonderful Jesus because He's the one that keeps you going. He's the one that encourages you. Come on, come on. Be pure. Be encouraged. Don't give up. Come on, keep going. Look at me. Look over here. And He's just removing sin so that there's no weight on us, so that we can dance and so that we can move on in the Lord. Right? All right. Now, this is another picture. We're looking at another picture now. This is a future Jesus here. All right. The door was opened. Behold, the door was open. Remember God said back in the church of Philadelphia, behold, I open the door and no man can shut. I close the door and no man can open. We have before us into heaven. This is what this is talking about. In heaven, there is an open door for me. There is an open door for you. I can look straight in. I can walk straight in. That's my home. I'm not down here on the earth. You're not down here on the earth. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that I am seated with Christ in the heavenly places. You believe that? You're not here. Now come on, live by faith. Don't live by sight. By sight, you're here, you know, in 615 college sitting on a bench or a chair. You know. But in truth, in fact, in reality, this is not truth, fact, and reality. This is appearance. In truth, in fact, in reality, you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. All right. So John was looking up and he said, behold, I see an open door. This is picture language now. He has a vision, an open door. In other words, there's no problem between me and God. The Holy of Holies, the curtain's been torn away. I can walk right into the presence of God, boldness of access, and I can say, hi, Dad. You know, and he says, cut in, get in here. Come on, sit on my lap. Hi, how you doing? Oh, pretty good. You know, and he says, give me a hug. And he gives me a big hug. That's your father. That's Abba. The Lord's Prayer doesn't say, our Father. It says, our Daddy. That's what it says, Abba. Abba in the Hebrew. There's a very clear word in the Hebrew for Daddy, and it's Abba. That's what little kids say, Abba. Father. That's what it means. So, our Abba. You know, that's what we're always saying. And you know what the Holy Spirit's interceding inside of us, always saying thing, Abba, Abba, Abba. You know, we want to go home, don't we? We are sons of God. We're brides of the Lord, but we're also sons of God. We're a lot of things. But so he looks up there into heaven, open door, come on in, and listen to this voice says, a trumpet kind of voice said to me, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be, they have to be, they're guaranteed, they will be, hereafter. This is the future. So this is not the present Lord talking to the church, shape up. This is the future Lord. You see that? Now it's not future, 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 it's just future. I mean, there's a future after this future, okay? You get the time schedule a little later, all right? Immediately I was in the Spirit. Now what is it to be in the Spirit? Have you ever been in the Spirit? Amen. You know what it means to be in the Spirit? What does it mean when he says, immediately I was in the Spirit? Have you ever been in the Spirit? Have you ever been caught up in the Spirit? Right. You're right here on the earth. Your feet are right here. But it's as though you were completely carried away and you weren't aware. Your eyes might be wide open. But you are transported, either physically or not physically. It doesn't make any difference. In fact, you don't even know and you don't even care. You could hear a telephone ring, maybe. But you are caught up in the Lord. You are drunk. Have you ever been drunk? I mean, in the Spirit? Be ye not filled with wine, whereas in its excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. Right? Be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're intoxicated. You're beside yourself. Glory! You know, and you're just caught up in God. And you're not paying attention to your neighbors. Was I too loud? You know, I wonder if I... You know, you're just caught up in the Lord. You're just beholding the Lord. Now, that could happen daily. That could happen daily. This one happened to be on the Lord's day. You know, John was caught up in the Spirit. And John is continually being caught up. He's what they call ecstasy. He's caught up in the presence of God because he's fervently in love. You remember John was called the beloved disciple? This guy used to be one of the sons of thunder. You remember? Remember when they came to some of those cities and they wouldn't accept Jesus and he said, God, call down thunder on them. You want us to do it? Remember he said that to Jesus? And Jesus said, oh, John, come on. You know, wait a minute, John. You don't have this thing down at all. But John loved Jesus fervently. He was not only fervent in his passion, you see, to get those bad guys who wouldn't accept Jesus. You ever been like that? Dumbo. Dumb. You know, but that's all right. That's zeal and that's passion. But the same thing, he loved Jesus with such a... Remember, he ran to the tomb first, you know? He outran Peter. Such a love for Jesus. John was the one that lay close to the breast of Jesus so that when Jesus said who it was, John was very close and he could hear him whisper. It's he that dippeth. What did Peter say? What did he say? It's he that dippeth, you know. And John's head was laying on his breast. That's a picture of the beloved disciple. That's a picture of us. You ought to be so close to Jesus. You ought to be laying in so close to his breast that he doesn't have to say, hello, can you hear me? You know, he ought to just be able to say, wouldn't it be wonderful if? And you would hear it. Ah, if what? If what? And you're just, even a whisper if he would say to you. Most of us, we're real dull of hearing. We can hardly hear him. The Lord said, you know, and says something, huh? I didn't hear you. What did he say, John? You know, and we're not close enough to the Lord to hear his whispers. We have to hear him yell real loud, you know, like 10 times. You know what I'm saying? Hello? Hello? You know what I'm saying? Most of us are not able to hear him that intimately because we're not the beloved, passionately in love with him, staying with him all the time, seeking him day and night to know him. Okay? Hello? So that's a goal for you. That's a goal for you. That's what you ought to be like, John. All right. John got the revelation. Not Peter. Not James. Not the brother of the Lord. Not, but John. John the beloved. All right? And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set. Now that word set is very important. A throne was established. In other words, you can't move it. It was set like in concrete in heaven. And that throne means you can never move it. I mean, doesn't that give you security to know that, you know, God, when he says a thing, that's it, forever and ever. Now, if President Reagan says something, if he says, I guarantee you, you don't know if it's true or not. Even if he could guarantee it, maybe he'll be dead tomorrow. You don't know. When a man says something, you don't know what it means. But when God says something, it's set. And it can't, there's not even death, nothing can touch it. Isn't that exciting? To know that the guy that set his throne said, I love you. I'm delighted with you. You come on up. Come up hither. That's your God. Amen? That ought to turn you on. You ought to jump up and down or something, you know, on that one. You know, God says, you know, I love you. That's set. He said, write this down. It's established. You know, that's the way it is. I make all things new. You remember that? Behold, that's the way it is. All right. So he said, I saw a throne set in heaven. That is established. Not just a chair sitting up there. That is set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. God is one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one. Not three, one. But not one as though he didn't have different persons like the Jesus Only group or some others. No, no. One God, but he has Father, Son, and Holy Spirit persons or something. We don't even know the word, but we know there's three aspects of some sort. So, all right. God is one. That means what one says, the other says, the other says. What one is, the other is, the other is. The Father reveals the Son reveals the Spirit reveals the Son reveals the Father, and they all reveal each other, and we're in the, you know. It's just a wonderful family. See, Father is in the Son, seen, not in the Spirit. You can't say that. The Spirit reveals what? Jesus, not the Father. The Spirit doesn't reveal the Father. You know why? Because the Spirit reveals the Son who reveals the Father. And the Father sent the Spirit. It's the Spirit of the Father. But he reveals the Son because the Father wants to be known through the Son. Now, the Father could be known apart from the Son. He doesn't want to be known apart from the Son. So the Father has put his perfect image in the Son. And the Son is only known through the Spirit. And the Spirit only reveals the Son, who reveals the Father. It's a wonderful arrangement. So there's three, but there's one. And you see, now listen, this is the exciting thing. Not only is that true, but you cannot know the Lord without knowing me. Why? Because he's in me and I'm in him. Now, to know me, you have to know Jesus. To know Jesus, you have to know me. You're in the Lord. And the Lord's in you. You can't see the Lord without seeing me and you and yourself and others. All those in the Lord. Do you understand that? He said, he that receiveth you receiveth me. He that seeth you receiveth me. Seeth you, seeth me. Heareth you, heareth me. If you minister to me, if you hurt me, you know, whatever. Remember when Paul was persecuting the Christians and Jesus yelled down from heaven and said, hey,
what?
He says, what are you persecuting me for? I ain't persecuting you. I'm persecuting Christians. You persecute them, you persecute me. It's you up in heaven. I can't bother you anymore. I am not. I'm down there among my people. When you hurt them, you hurt me. You see that? That was Jesus talking. You thought maybe Jesus didn't suffer anymore. He still suffers when his people suffers. You see? You have to understand that. You know, he suffered once. We understand that. But there's still a sense in which he identifies with every hurt we have. He knows every temptation you're going to go through. He's your high priest that's been through it all, and he knows it all, and he did it for you, and he finished it, but he's still... Look, this is the thing. Heaven is not going to add anything to what you've got now. Heaven is going to reveal what you've got now. You've got it all now. You're not going to be more a child of God in heaven than you are now. You're already in the family if you're born again, if you believe, you see. Heaven's just going to reveal it. But what happens now? Now, I get to experience, let's say the day I was born, here I was born again, got my BA, I was born again, and now the day when I end my biological life, or maybe I won't do it if Jesus comes first or if I get translated, between that day and the future when I see the Lord face to face, I'm just experiencing what he finished 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, he finished, he said, it is finished. He did it all. I'm just experiencing what he did it all. I got into it here, and I got it all here. I got it all, but I don't even know what I got it all. I want to know what I got it all. So now I'm experiencing day after day after day, not condemnation, not guilt, not problems and troubles. They don't bother me at all. They're just perfecting me. I'm just experiencing how Jesus set me free. Right? I'm not waging any battle. He's doing it all for me. I'm not having any difficulty with sin down here. I just reckon myself dead unto sin, alive unto God. I'm not having problems down here. Hello. Amen. It's a faith life, isn't it?
Right.
Isn't this true? It's fun. It's an exciting thing. He did it all. Back here, I got into it here. I'm experiencing it here. I'll see it here. I'm seeing it little by little here. I see it little by little. That's so I can appreciate him better. I love him right here. When I met him, I loved him. Bang, just like that. Just like I met my wife. I loved her, but it takes me day after day to learn what a good thing I got. I love my wife now more than I ever did. You know? Day after day. Now, I know some marriages go sour, but when you're in Jesus, you don't go sour. Now, I was sour for a long time, just to encourage those that have had some sour lemons, okay? It's okay. I was as big a mess as anybody, no question, unquestionably. But by the grace of God, I got saved somewhere along the line, and that changed everything. Because I was one rotten husband. Hello. You know, I really was. And even some people in this room knew me at that time. Yeah. So, God did a transforming work in my life. And now I'm experiencing what I got. And my eyes are open. I didn't have any open eyes before. I didn't even know what I had. And God redeemed me, saved me, changed me, filled me, did everything. I'm just amazed day after day. I'm not amazed at me changing. I'm amazed at him. What do you want to change me for? You know, he said, I want to use you. I like you. You like me? Praise the Lord. You have good taste. But, you know, I'm glad he likes me. You know what I mean? I mean, if he says he likes me and his throne is set, I don't care what anybody else says. He likes me. I likes me. If he says he says he likes you, that's something, because his throne is set. When he says it, that settles it. All right? Let's look on. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. So there's something special going on here. And round about the throne were 24 seats. 24 seats. Now, usually the interpretation of this, and I can't say that I have any special insight into it, is that these 24 guys... Around the throne, here's the throne, and here's somebody on the throne here. 24 guys seated around him are 12 from the Old Testament and 12 from the New Testament. But I don't know if that's true. But anyway, all I can tell you is 12 is always the number of the church. And there was 12 tribes in Israel. So it could well be. And then there's 12 in the New Testament. But I don't know where these guys come from. There's even some saints still on the earth at this time, so I don't really know how they already got their elders and leaders ahead of time, you know. You know, I guess I'm not going to be one of those guys if that's so. So I don't know how he got these guys and who they are. But anyway, there's 12 guys, or 24 guys there. All right. Now, you can study that. Maybe you'll get more understanding. I saw 24 elders sitting. Now, sitting is always a good thing, because sitting shows leisure. You know, when you got it made, you're sitting. You guys got it made, you see? You know, you're sitting, that shows you got peace and leisure and so on. Because David was a man of war. He didn't get to sit down. David was always fighting, whack, 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 blood. You know, he's a man of blood. That's why he couldn't build the house of God. Because only a man of peace who sits down on a throne like Solomon, the son, only a man of peace can build a temple of God. Did you know that? Jesus, when he was on the earth, was like David. He was a fighter. Whopping off the enemy, you know, gathering the materials, gathering disciples. But he did not build the church till he got to heaven. Then he was the son of David, Solomon type. And now he's a man of peace, sitting on a throne, ruling from on high. He's building the temple. That's us. He's seating us together with him in the heavenly places, building us up a holy people, right? So now he's not a man of war, because he did the war. It's over. The war is all over. You don't have to wait to see if you win. Gee, I hope I win. You know, you don't have to wait. We already won. We won back here. 2,000 years ago, I won. I just found out, you know, not too long ago. But I already won. Because with Christ, you died. It doesn't say you will die someday. It says, if with Christ you died, then with Christ you arose. Past tense, past tense, past tense. So, it's all over with. I'm just enjoying now how it worked out. It's just like seeing a movie, you know, seeing the end and then going back and seeing how you got there. I already know the end. I win. I just want to see how I got there. Golly, I wonder how I got there. Wow. I don't see how I could have gotten out of that one. Woo, boy, look at that. Amazing. Wow. I don't think I'll ever get out of that one. Boy, let's go back and see that one again. Wow, I did get out. Praise God. You know, but in the end, I win. I don't know how that thing works out, because it just seems to go from one circumstance to another, and I just wonder, and I'm amazed day after day. How did I walk on water there? You know, gee, I didn't know I could do that. Praise the Lord. I guess it's because I got my eyes on Jesus. Because I saw the end, and that encouraged me to tough it out. Because, boy, I saw some rough things coming. Arr, rough. I said, I can't get over that. And Jesus said, just look at me. Poof. It's gone. Mountains disappear. Fig trees wither. You know? Whatever gets in my way has to go. Did you know that? As a man of God, as a woman of God, nothing can stand in your way. Behold, I set before you an open door. He said, wherever you put the sole of your foot, you'll prosper. I don't think anything can stop me. Can anything stop you?
No.
Nothing. Nothing. Let's say it. Nothing can stop me. I can do all things, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's the truth. That's just a nice little thing to psych yourself up on. That's the truth. That's the way it is. Whether you know it or not, or believe it or not, it's true. That's the way it is. All right. So these guys are sitting on the seats, and they were clothed in white raiment. I told you what the white raiment was. They had washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, and they were white. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. In other words, Jesus says, when you get done with this life, you get a crown, a gold crown. Okay? That shows you're a royalty. Everybody here is a king. I don't really know if they have queens in heaven. I'm not kidding you. I don't know if they have any queens in heaven. But then on the other hand, I don't know if they have any bridegrooms in heaven except Jesus. So I guess I'm a bride. If I can be a bride, you women can be kings.
Amen.
Right? See? This is the way it is. But at any rate, we're all royalty. That's all I know. We're all royalty. We're all going to get married, and we're the female part. But we're also the male part, because in heaven there ain't no male or female. That stuff goes away. It's just a picture down here. You know, don't get all hung up on that. All right? And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now these seven spirits of God are like the presence of God. It's the perfect presence of God moving throughout, to and fro throughout the world. Seven spirits of God moving to and fro throughout the world. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And I'm not going to explain all this stuff because it's too much. This is what I want to get to. And round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes. Now this is what I want to teach you tonight. This is mind-blowing. Full of eyes before and behind. Let's look at these four beasts. Now, you read from there on. Let's see, Grady, you read who these four beasts are. No. Oh, did you get the Ezekiel one? Are you the one that got Ezekiel?
Well, I didn't figure.
You got the Ezekiel or the other one?
Ezekiel.
Yeah. Okay, read the Ezekiel, then we'll read this one. Go ahead, read it. I'll write down what you say. Go ahead, Ed. Read Ezekiel.
Out of the midst of it came the life of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and each one had four faces, and each one had four wings, and their legs were straight legs, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like burnished bronze. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings up. Their wings touched one another. They turned not when they went, but went everyone straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces,
listen,
they each had the face of a man in front. And they four had the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four had the face of an eagle at the back of their head.
Stop. Okay, you notice those four faces in Ezekiel, again. Now, Grady, do you have the passage in Revelation 4, 7, and 8?
And the first creature was like a lion.
Stop. Okay, now let's name the first creature here. This is going to really be interesting to you. Write this down if you're taking notes, because you may never hear this thing again. All right, lion. First one, lion. Go ahead.
Second creature, like a calf.
All right, that's the same as an ox. This is so interesting.
First creature had a face like that of a man.
Man.
Fourth creature was like a flying eagle.
A flying eagle. Now, that's not just an eagle. This is not just like the American eagle sitting on a flagpole. This is a flying eagle. Now, this is so interesting. One, two, three, and four. Now, rather than spend a lot of time, I'm going to tell you who these guys are. Now, watch. This one's Matthew. This one's Mark. This one's Luke. And this one's John. Now, watch. Matthew talks about Jesus. Let's say he's talking about Jesus as the Son of God. Mark talks about him as the Son of Man. Luke talks about him as a man. John talks about him as God. Okay? Now, Mark talks to the Jews, so he is the Jewish Messiah King. Mark talks about him to the Jews, but here he is the suffering servant. Luke talks about Jesus as a man, but he is the hope of the Gentiles. Not the Jews, but the hope of the Gentiles. And John talks about him as the eternal Son of God. Now, this is interesting. You see, a lion is like the Lion of Judah, who is a kingly beast. That's Matthew. He talks about Jesus as the one setting up the kingdom of heaven. He talks about, if you read the book of Matthew, you'll see this is a perfect understanding that Jesus is the Jewish king for the Jews. It does nothing about the rest of the world. That's Luke. Nothing about the universe. That's John. These are lower. All right? So he is the Son of God because salvation comes from the Jews. You gotta have the guy that's the king of all, the eternal Logos, the one who was from the beginning and who is at the end. That's a high-flying eagle kind of a book. You ever read that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you know, boy, that's a toughie. What do you mean Logos? You know, what's the Logos? You know, it's kind of a tough deal, you see. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace, and you know. That's a high-flying eagle. In other words, that's a theologically toughie. This one's just a simple one. Jesus went to the store, and then he saw, and you know, it's more like a story, and even little kids can get that one. But you read this to kids, in the beginning was the Word, huh? You know, they don't know. That's a high-flying eagle. You see, that one takes something, you know, because he's presenting Jesus in a different way. Each one is singing a song. But they blend together so beautifully. I'm going to show you in a minute how it all blends together into a beautiful song. But look at the lion is a kingly animal. The ox is a servant animal. Mark presents Jesus as the Son of Man, a suffering servant. Not the Messiah King, but the suffering servant. Jesus said, I came among you not as one to be served, but to serve. And it shall be so among you. In other words, we are kings, but we're also servants. We are kings, but we're also servants. We're also men, and we're also gods, because we are partakers of the divine nature. All of it. You see how, presenting Jesus, I understand myself? Each one sings an eternal song. These books will never grow old. These books will be heard in heaven. These are four living creatures. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not just four books written by men. The liberals that tell us that are liars. They know nothing. Because these are eternal books, always singing this song. Now listen to the song they sing. Here's the song they sing. Holy, holy, holy. A threefold holy. Holy, holy, holy. You see? Over and over again. That's the same in the Old Testament. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said the same thing. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. You know, and it's all these magnificent worship and peons and peons, hymns and hymns of praise and honor and glory and majesty and, you know, all these kingly kind of things. Hey, this is what we were created for. This is what you were created for. You were created to glorify God. You were created to glorify God. I tell you, if you do use your tongue for anything else, you've missed it. You were created to glorify God in your body, in your mouth, with your eyes, everything. I glorify God. You know, little flowers glorify God. Did you ever walk by a flower? Praise the Lord. You know, even frogs.
Praise the Lord.
You know, everything glorifies God. Really, everything in all creation, it's in a beautiful harmony, in a beautiful way. Even fallen creation, it's singing. Even the trees clap, you know, and the heavens are declaring the glory. Everything is declaring the glory of God. But we have the highest privilege of all to do so in our very bodies. The very image of God can be born in us. Do you see that? That's the highest. All right. These four living creatures around the throne, and the 24 elders around them, and all the people around them, we're all singing this song. Holy, holy, holy. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Holy, holy, holy. Who is worthy? Listen to what it says. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory, and they never rest day and night. Remember it said that? In other words, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are always going. Full stop. Just like a tape player, you know, something, going all the time. They're just always singing. So if you ever want anyone to hear the song of the Lamb, this is the song of the Lamb. You've heard the song of Moses? The song of Moses was for temporal freedom. This is for eternal freedom. This is the song of the Lamb. You know the song of the Lamb? He is worthy. This is the song of the Lamb. I'm going to teach you that song someday, because this song, the song of the Lamb, is an eternal song. So is the song of Moses, by the way. We're going to sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Those are the two major songs. So this is a new song. The song of the Lamb is a new song. And these beasts are singing it all the time. Holy, holy, holy. He is worthy to open the seals, to show you all of history. And on and on and on and on. That's only one of the things that he does. So, praise the Lord. You beginning to understand this book? It's a really simple book. Isn't that marvelous? We could dwell on this all day and all night, because there's so much to all of this. You know, we can just keep showing how each of these books is simplified in just a word, a picture, a statement. Isn't that good to know how to do that? You know, so you know what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are. You know, you should write that down above them. You know, this is an eagle, because that's a book that soars high. The eagle, you know, if you could talk all night long about what an eagle's like, you see, and you'd be describing the book of John. It has a heavenly, all right, we'll do it. It has a heavenly point of view. If you want to know what's going on, this book has a heavenly point of view. It's different than the others who are on the earth. This book, these are biographies of Jesus, but this book shows it from a heavenly point of view. You can see the divineness of Jesus. Here's where, in this book, you have doubting Thomas say, my Lord and my God. You didn't have that said in the others. In the others, they say, are you God? You have said so. A little tricky way of saying it, you know. It's not exactly clear. Well, are you God or not? Say it plainly. Well, you have said so. Ah, that's not plain. Come on, say it plainly. Are you? But over here, it's plain. In the book of John, you see, he reveals himself in the divine character, not in the others. You understand? Each one is different to show you a different aspect of Jesus, because this guy is rich. He is everything. He is our all in all. And you say, well, I don't know. Why do I need all that? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. All I know is you need it. You need to know all four of these Gospels. The good news is not just one of them. Somebody said, well, aren't they all alike? At least Matthew, Mark, and Luke say the same thing, don't they? Nope. Nope. No. There are things that are part of this song that you must hear. You must hear the song of the lion. You must hear the song of the ox. You must hear the song of the man. You must hear the song of the eagle. You must hear them all into that one beautiful song. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Why is God holy? Why isn't he beloved? Because the beloved is the Holy One. And the Holy One is the Lamb that was slain. And the Lamb is the Lord, the King. Now look, the Holy One exposes me. God is holy. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, he didn't say, praise the Lord, glory, hallelujah. You know, he wasn't a fanatic charismatic, was he? You know what he said? Of course, you know, I mean, he could have been better informed, but in the old days, that's all. He said, woe is me. He didn't know about Jesus yet, you see. Woe is me, he said, for I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And you know, he said, God's so holy and I'm yucko, you know. I don't belong here. You know, let me out. And he fell at his feet as though dead. Same with John. And you know what God does when he sees somebody doing that? He says, hey, get up. Cheer up. Don't be afraid. Stop weeping. Rejoice. Did you see Jesus doing that? Did you see Jesus doing that? Remember in the Old Testament where they started weeping when they heard the law? You know, Ezra brought out the law and they started, oh no, we've blown it. You know what God told him to say? He says, go out and tell those people to start rejoicing. He says, take out the wine. That's what he said. Sorry if there's any Baptists here. Take out the wine. He said, portion out the fat, which was only for the priests. Eat the fat and go home and have a ball, have a feast. He said, because I want to tell you something. This is good news. And I don't want you weeping and crying too much. See? If you don't understand, if you understand this book and you cry, you haven't understood it. You can cry, but then go on and laugh. Because you cry here that he's so holy and you're not. But you must laugh here. Because he that's holy and has exposed you has covered you already. And not only that, has he forgiven you, but he's already empowered you. Now go on and take it all. You can now live a holy life. You can join him. Right? He's done it all. This is me. In union with him. In communion with him. In fellowship with him. It's good news. Anyway, that's what these guys are singing all the time. They're singing, 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 the Lord is good. And John is inviting us to look at this at this one. And that's when he looks up into heaven, this is whom he sees. Now, all of world history is going to open up before you here. I can show you the history of the world in just a few statements. It's so simple. But the genius is out there, you know, like where I went to school. All those smart guys. They don't know nothing. But the Bible has it all. The simplest person can know more than all the, you know, professors at TCU and, you know, SMU and Yale and Harvard. And they don't know anything. They're dumbbells. They are. They're dumbbells. Because they don't submit themselves to this word. This word has it all. This word has it all. I tell you the truth. I knew nothing till I read this word. All your learning is nothing. It's utterly vain. You remember the guy in the Old Testament said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity? It was the preacher. He said, hey, he said, I had great wisdom. I knew just about everything. I had BDs, ABs, ZBs, you know what I mean? He had them all. He said, it's nothing. It's just nothing. And it boils down to just a few simple things. And I have several degrees. I have one in philosophy. You know what philosophy boils down to? Nothing. You know, when you get to the end of the end of the end of the end, there's nothing there. But they don't tell you that. So most guys quit somewhere along and say, it's too much. But if you keep going, you find out it all reduces to a few simple things like A is A and it's not non-A. You know, in other words, a horse is a horse and it's not a buggy. You know, something like that. That's about all it is. I'm telling you the truth. You know, I studied existentialism, phenomenology, you know, Marxism, the whole bit, all the isms. They don't amount to anything. It's all vanity. Here's the thing that amounts to something. This is the truth. I've studied economics. I've studied politics. All of it. It all boils down to nothing. And I'll show you the next time when we study the history of the world, how it works in four easy steps. You read these four horses, you'll understand the history of the world in four easy steps. It's all here in the book. It shows you the whole thing. What's happening in the Falklands right now, or whatever those islands are called? It's all right here. It's all told here. And when I say that, I don't mean it's some kind of a detail thing. It just tells you the general principle, and you have to follow it. You have to, want to see what that is right now before you go home? Okay. All right. Skip ahead. Let's go down to chapter 6. Now, this is the seven seals, and I'm not going to teach you this, but I'll just show you quickly so you can go home and study it. The seven seals, the first one, what color is the horse? That's right, white. The second one is a red horse. The third one is a what? That's right, black. And the last one is a pale horse. Now, there's 5, 6, and 7, but you don't need to know that right now. Just these five. Now, watch this. Now, you study this, and I'll give a full teaching on it next time, but you study it first. The rider on the white horse, he is given a bow, and he goes out to conquer. Let's call that an ambitious, power-seeking, ambitious, you know, king after power. Well, what happens when someone in this world wants power? I'll tell you what happens. The next guy rides out and takes all the peace from the world. When someone wants to be a powerful king, like the British lion and unicorn, you know, or anybody, doesn't matter who it is, the Argentines, anybody. When you want to be an ambitious king, you want to be a big shot, you want to be somebody, what happens? War. Okay? And what happens after that? This guy here rides out with a balance in his hand and he says, a bushel of wheat for, and then he gives a real high price for it. In other words, economic disaster. Economic crisis. And what happens after that? The thing that happens after the next rider is death and hell. Now that is all of world history. Pride and ambition leads to war always. You know, your passions, they say, to spend it on your own pleasures, that always leads to war. What causes wars? That's what causes wars, James says. That always leads to economic disaster, which destroys the people. You see? And that always leads to death and hell. What'll come from all these things? Nothing. Nothing good. That's a guarantee. Guarantee it. I guarantee it. No good will come from it. Because that's the way it is. You see? And that's been the story from the beginning. Nothing's new under the sun. It'll never change. Not till the end. Not till Jesus comes back again to change all of this. Okay? So just don't get hung up on it. You know, you already know the story ahead of time, right? Okay. Simple, isn't it? You could teach your children simple world history. You could teach them economics, politics, the whole thing, just from a few words. You ought to be able to. You ought to be able to. Someday I want to be able to teach children in the simplest fashion all of these highly sophisticated things. Just break them down into a few simple things so that they know all that the world knows and more. They ought to be able to. Jesus was no dumbbell. You know, Jesus said you should be wise as a serpent. And many Christians are naive. Oh, just give me the Bible. Well, yeah, but that Bible should make you a wise as a serpent person. Amen. There's a lot in there. It tells you everything. Jesus was not stupid when he said, Herod that fox. He knew what he was talking about. You know, he knew politics. He knew everything. Yeah, that's not where it's at. But you're living in the world. You're not of the world. You can't fight like the world fights. You can't do as the, but you are in the world. And you need the world, know the world you're into, because the wicked out there are just making hay while us Christians are, you know, praying and reading. And we're praying and reading in such a way that's not wise always. It's naive. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know if you do or not, but the point is that God wants us to be an army. And those disciples, you read Paul, he was no dumbbell. Peter was, I tell you, even Peter, you know, and James, these guys were something else. I can't understand them, really. You read them, they had depth. How did they get it? They were just fishermen, you know, or tax collectors or whatever. But when you come to the Lord, you become wise as a serpent, but innocent and pure as a dove. Now, where are those Christians? That's what God wants. Those that are wise as a serpent, but innocent and pure as a dove. We know many people that are wise guys, but they're no longer innocent. We know many people that are kind of nice, but they're not very wise. We need those that are wise as serpents. They know everything that serpents know. Do you ever think that serpents know? You ought to know everything serpents know. You were one once. You were a serpent once. Did you know that? Amen. Yes, I do. You know, you were not born, you know, even if you were Lutheran or something, you weren't born a Christian. You had to be born again. You were born a child of the devil. That's what it say in the good book, you see. And you had to be born again. You must be born again, you see. And so you share and partake of the same nature that's out there in the world. That's why we can witness to them. You say, hey, brother, I know what you're into. I was into that. I was just as ambitious as you. I was just as greedy. I was just as envious. And still, even in the church, we are too, because we have a flesh, but we're learning to reign over it. Amen, aren't we? Aren't we learning to reign over all that stuff? We can get the victory over all that. Let's close in prayer. God, we just thank you and praise you for this teaching tonight. We thank you for opening this book that's so difficult to understand, but it's not so difficult to understand because the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us into all truth. We thank you, Lord God, that you really have made it a revelation, and it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we love you. We're learning to know you. We're learning to praise you, to follow you, to be pure, to be holy, to have our doctrine clean, to know how to live and love with one another, to know how to witness to the world, to know how to save those that are lost, the revolutionaries in this world, the warmongers, the economic giants in this world, the politicians. Lord, they have nothing. They know nothing. They are nothing. But we have the words of life. We have the life of life. We are the life. We are the living demonstration of the kingdom of God. And we thank you, Lord God, that it's love that makes the world go round. It's love that the world needs. It's peace that the world needs. It's Jesus Christ. And we want to proclaim you as Lord of lords and King of kings even now. Though the world does not see it, we see it. And the world will see us reigning in life, and they will see Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, that you have given to us these new powers, the power to love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, goodness, faithfulness. We love you. We love you with all our heart. And we thank you, Lord God, that you'll do a great and wondrous thing with this people. You will make us into mighty men and women of God, that we might one day see our King, behold this throne, and say, glory to God, Abba Father, we love you. Lord Jesus, you are our brother, you are our bridegroom, you are our Savior, you are our friend, you are the Lion of Judah, you are the ox, you are the eagle, you are the man, you are all in all, you are everything, the bright morning star, everything that we want, that we need, that we must have. You've done it all. And now we find ourselves in love with you. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God.